Here I am, Lord. Is it time, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night.
Welcome to our service for August the 30th, 2020. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader here in Bedhampton in Hampshire. That's the rector for St. Nicholas and St. Thomas in Bedhampton. And it's great to have you with us this week as we come to the end of our series of looking at what God has taught us in the lockdown. Later on, Polly will be talking about a right time as we look at what God has been teaching her and us during the lockdown. But before we do that, just some family notices for you. Well, I wonder, do you get your news sheet sent to you by email each week? Because all of the information I'm about to say is already in here. So if you don't get the news sheet, let me know and I'll add you to the list. But of course, I am wearing my mask today to remind you that next Sunday, that Sunday the 6th of September, we open up for public services. And of course, you're going to be needing to wear one of these, aren't you, to that service. So don't forget, if you're coming along to one of our services next Sunday, bring your mask with you. And a reminder that if you are going to come to either the 9 o'clock at St. Nicholas next Sunday or the 11 o'clock at St. Thomas in Bidbury Lane, that please book in and let us know that you're coming. We've been asked by the government to make sure we have a register of who's coming. And we look forward to seeing you as we come together as a church family once more into our buildings and celebrate the greatness that God is and how great he has been to us. Of course, we're going to continue this service as well, so you'll still be able to look at this service. This service will be available as usual from 8 a.m. for you to watch anytime following that time. So we look forward as we continue to move forward as one church family using different traditions to worship the one God who is so good to us. So one reminder again, don't forget your mask if you're coming next week. And don't forget to book in on the website or give me a phone call to let me know that you're coming. Details are on the screen on how to do that. So we look forward to seeing you. But there's other things in this sheet as well. And one of the things I've been neglecting to remind you about is the food bank. Don't forget that in front of the rectory, and we'll leave it there as well for the time being, there is a black box for you to place in your plastic bags full of food for the food bank, for the food that you wish to donate to those who have less than we do. So that's the public services starting next week, the web service continuing, and the food bank. But you'll always find that information in the news sheet. So don't forget to grab hold of a copy of that. But of course, while we really come together during this time online and in our buildings is to worship God. And that's what we're going to do right now. As usual, there'll be some words on the screen. If you want to, you can join in with those words. But God's Spirit is with you wherever you are, whether you are in your living room or in your garden like I am, or in a church building like we will be next week. His Spirit is there with us. So God is spirit. Let us worship him in spirit and truth. The Lord is with us. Let us praise his name together. And let's take a moment just to acknowledge that he is with us. Maybe close your eyes if it helps you to focus on God's Holy Spirit. Maybe hold out your hands as receiving his love. Let's take a moment to pause before we sing our song. Bring to mind God now. See him opening his arms towards you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are our God and you have good gifts for us. In fact, we acknowledge that you have already given us the greatest of gifts, the grace of sending your Son, Jesus, as we worship Would you guide us in our worship? Amen. And we're going to continue our worship by singing that great song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Doesn't matter, does it, if we sing that old hymn version of that or whether we sing the new version in a song? The truth is there in those words anyway. Amazing grace, the grace that we have received from our Lord, undeserved, glorious grace. Of course, if you're like me, you muck up sometimes and you think, oh, I really don't deserve that grace. But the truth is, you are due that grace because Jesus died for you and I. And so we come now to acknowledge that it is grace, and by confessing our mistakes. Sometimes we do this using words. Today, I thought we would just do this with some silence and just some gentle prompting from me. So let's take a moment to still our hearts again, to reflect over the last week or beyond, to come and bring before God the areas of our lives which we are not proud of, but which we know when we hand to Jesus we are forgiven for. Let's take a moment to do that. Again, if it helps, just still your hearts, hold your hands out, close your eyes if it helps. Holy Spirit, would you prompt us with the areas of our lives that you would have us examine? Take that bag of the things that you've put the things in that you don't want to have in your lives anymore, into that bag. And just in your imagination, just hand that over to Jesus. As we turn away, as we repent of those things. Holy Spirit, we thank you that we are forgiven when we come to you and we turn away from our mistakes and our sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. Know that as you say words like that, you are forgiven. You don't need me here to do that. You can do that anytime you want during the week. And we now enter our worship cleansed because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we're going to do that. We're going to continue that worship by hearing our readings this week. Firstly, Catherine is going to read from Romans, and then Sandra is going to read from Ecclesiastes. And then following on from these readings, we're going to hear Polly tell us what she's learnt for us in the lockdown.
The reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. A time for everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does this so that men will revere him. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, it's lovely to be with you again today. This week is the last week in our series of Lessons from Lockdown. I was really privileged on the 2nd of August to start the series sharing lessons that I've learnt on thankfulness and promises. And I took you on a journey through the first 12 chapters of Genesis, leading up to God leaving his people with the sign of a rainbow, a promise to everybody that he would never again flood the whole earth. The following week, Max spoke to you from the book of Kings about God who'd been teaching him about being still and silent and being able to hear that still small voice. Vanda's lesson then taught us that God is in control, and she spoke to us from the books of 2 Timothy and Revelation. God is our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, and the whole Bible is the inspired word of God. Last week we had Max again and he spoke to us about diversity and about how God's kingdom welcomes everybody and our response needs us to act justly and to walk humbly. And the passage he chose from Corinthians about us all being part of the body of Christ really spoke to me. We aren't all the same and we're not designed to be the same. And I also wonder how you got on with the challenge that Max left us last week. The challenge to seek somebody out who's different to you. I have to admit, I have failed spectacularly at that challenge, as this week I've not spoken to a single person I didn't know already. However, just because I failed this week doesn't mean I can't try again. So next week I can see if I can do that challenge. And then today our readings come from the books of Ecclesiastes and the books of Romans. The passage we heard from Romans 12 really complements the passage last week Max shared from 1 Corinthians 12, where the body is made of many parts, and not every part is the same, but every part is needed. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "If the foot says because it is not a hand, it doesn't belong to the body, it doesn't cease to be part of the body." And in verse 19, "If we are all one part, where would the body be?" In the reading we've heard from Romans 12, if we look at verse 4 of Romans 12, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. How amazing is that? We are all members of the same body. We all have a part to play. We are all needed. 1 Corinthians 12 asks us, if we are all eyes, where would the sense of hearing be? We're all one body. We have different parts. We are all needed. Romans 12 verse 6 goes on to say, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our church needs each one of us to use the gifts we've been given. It also needs us to not try and do everything on our own. It needs us to trust the other parts of the body, that they will do their job so we can concentrate on doing our job. One lesson I've certainly learnt at work from lockdown is I don't need to do everything myself. It's okay at times to say no, and it's okay to pass things on to others to do. This has been really true in my role as a head teacher, with so many people looking up to me for the answer and to look for me for leadership. It's been easy to fall into the trap of thinking that I have to do everything myself. During lockdown, I've had more time working from home, and I've had to trust the school into the hands of my deputies. And you know what? School is still standing. My deputies have done their job. Okay, they may not have done it in the way that I would have done it, but does that matter? The job has been done. They've had the responsibility, they've taken it, and they've run with it. And I've learnt to trust them and let them run with it. Romans 12 verse 3 says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And another thing I found during lockdown is that actually I've had more time. I've had more time to think, more time to be with the family, more time to read the Bible. And time makes me think of the passage from Ecclesiastes which we had read to us earlier. In the NIV version it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. These first 8 verses are really poetic. And the 28 events span the whole range of human activities, both personal and corporate, and they are opposing pairs. And to me, they're a beautiful depiction of God's absolute control of events under heaven. Now, the next few verses that come after that, I'm going to read in several different translations of the Bible. Those of us who've started the Bible course on a Wednesday evening know there are lots of different translations of the Bible. Some are literal translations, some are equivalent translations, and some are paraphrases. and I find that reading the same passage in several different versions help me to get different layers of meaning. Verses 9 to 14 in the NIV sound like this. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so people will fear him. Now the message is a paraphrase, and the same verses in the message sound like this. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work, mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time, but he's left us in the dark so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided there's nothing better to do than go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat and drink and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be, always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it and that's it. So we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Or again, if we listen to it from the Living Bible. What does one really get from hard work? I've thought about this in connection with all the various kinds of work God has given to mankind. Everything is appropriate in its own time. But though God has planted eternity in the hearts of men, even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I conclude that first, there is nothing better for a man than to be happy and to enjoy himself as long as he can. And second, he should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of his labour, for these are the gifts of God. And I know this, that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or taken from it. God's purpose in this is that man should fear the all-powerful God. Now, the Street Bible has been described as like a tabloid newspaper. And the same passage in the Street Bible sounds like this. Where's the payoff? What's the point? All this back-breaking, brain-aching work that people go day in, day out. Why? God sets seasons for everything. At the right time, everything can work. But he's also programmed us with huge questions of life, the universe and everything, echoing around our brains. But we can't know. How can we? It's way too deep. Like trying to get to the bottom of the ocean when all we've been given is a plastic snorkel and flippers. Where's all this got me? What am I sure of? I know the best thing is for people to be content and do good things while they're alive. For someone to be able to eat, drink and enjoy their job is a gift from God. What God does lasts long after we've snuffed it. What he does can't be talked up or down. It stays permanent. And he does all this to win our respect. Do you know the bits from those different translations that really stand out for me? For someone to eat and drink and enjoy their job is a gift from God. And God's done it so we worship him in holy fear. there's a time for everything. Is now our time for our church to become more diverse, as Max was talking about last week? Is now the time for all of us to use the gifts we've been given? Is now the time for us as a church to get to grips more with God's word? And if you think it is, and it's time for you to get to know more of the Bible, it's not too late to contact Max to sign up for the Bible course. I'm pleased there's a time for everything, a time for order, and a time for chaos. Usually, when I talk to you, I go through the Bible passage verse by verse. But today I started in the book of Romans and I started going backwards. And then I've moved to Ecclesiastes and I'm going to finish by going back to the book of Romans. But I want to look at those first few verses of Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What images come to your mind when you read this verse? The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, was a Jew who understood the cost of sacrifice. To him, it meant the death of sheep, bulls and goats, and then ultimately the death of Jesus. And you can read about sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. But in this verse, God calls his children to present their bodies, their lives, as living sacrifices. And Paul compares the dead temple sacrifices to the living sacrifices made by believers who are willing to deny themselves, to deny their own wants, their own needs, their own desires, and instead choosing thy will be done on earth and really meaning it. The American evangelist D.L. Moody is credited with saying, the problem with a living sacrifice is it can crawl off the altar. What does that mean? Well, when troubles arise and worry and fear consume us, we forget to trust God and we crawl off. When our plans don't succeed and we question God's faithfulness, we crawl off. While the disappointments of life cause us to doubt God's love, we crawl off. So how do we present our lives as a living sacrifice and how do we stay put? And Romans 12 verse 1 began with the word therefore. A previous rector of Bedhampton, John Risdon, taught me that when you come across the word therefore in the Bible, you need to look back and see what the word is there for. So when Paul starts Romans 12 with the word therefore, he's referring back to the first 11 chapters of Romans. And in those we learn why we should present our lives on God's altar. In view of God's mercy, considering all that God has done for us, having once been objects of his wrath, God, in this present evil age, is showing mercy to mankind, to Jews and to Gentiles. And Paul ends chapter 11 with a prayer of praise that expresses his uncontained gratitude for God's mercy. And this is often called the doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or has been his counsellor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever. Amen. And having sent up this praise offering, Paul begins chapter 12 by saying, therefore, because of all that I've stated regarding God's mercy, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that is our spiritual act of worship. It's the least we can do in the light of all that Christ has done for us. And Paul then cautions us not to conform to the pattern of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. and the Greek word for conform has its roots in the word scheme, as in a plan or a method or a system. So this verse means we're not to allow this world to force us to think and behave according to its plans and methods. So how do we do that? There are no shortcuts. It requires self-denial. In other words, it requires doing what doesn't come naturally, but intentionally doing what we will to overcome our natural sinful tendencies. By making time in our lives for disciplined prayer, reading and meditating on God's word, we are transformed into God's heavenly pattern. So what's my lesson from lockdown been this week? There's a right time for everything. We are all individuals and we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. We also need to be prepared to be a living sacrifice, to deny our own wants, and to put God first in all that we do. And my prayer this week, Father, I pray that you would grant me a faith that cannot be shaken. Help me to lay my life willingly on the altar of God and to stay put. Amen. And as you go into this week, may God bless you all.
As ever, now, God's speaking through Polly when she speaks to us. A right time, a time for everything. A body of Christ here. I've been challenged by what Polly has said today. Maybe you have as well. Can I just suggest actually that there was so much great information in there. Maybe you would watch that sermon back again with a notebook in your hand. You can just whiz through the other bits if you want to watch that again during the week and just take on board what God's Spirit might be saying to you through Polly this week. Very challenging and absolutely on the nail for us right now in Midhampton.
Lord, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with the desire to do your holy will. Dear God, we pray for all the people we know, that they may come to know you and have a full and loving relationship with you. We thank you that we could all be in our homes today to celebrate and worship you. We pray for strength in our church family and in our own families. Let us remember that even if we stray from you, that you will never turn your back on us. You will never let us down or leave us, as we can trust you above any earthly being. Thank you for the miracles which we experience in our lives. You hear our call in times of trouble and guide us to a safe place. Thank you that miracles can happen now in these times and are not just something we hear about from the past. Let us pause for a moment to say quietly in our hearts any God-led events or news which have happened to us or our friends and families this week. Lord, it's so amazing that you hear our every prayer. Jesus, our Lord, we praise you that nothing could keep you dead in the grave. Help us to remember that there is nothing to be afraid of because you are alive and by our side. As you taught us, may we remember to draw strength from you in times of trouble and not to battle on alone in our feeble human way. Make us remember, God, that every day is your gift and ought to be used according to your commands. Have mercy on those where war, oppression, or famine has robbed them of their homes and friends. For those whose homes are broken by conflict and lack of love, grant where the love of man has failed, that divine compassion may heal. Lord, we pray for everyone who's watching this service today. We're only a week away from our return to our church buildings for a Sunday service. Please encourage those who have become part of our church family in recent months online to come to church next Sunday and meet us. God loves all of us, and we want to welcome them as part of our family. We pray for all those children and staff who are returning to schools in the coming week, that they may feel safe with all the changes. May they soon get used to the differences and blossom from being with their friends and colleagues again. We lift up all those who are ill and in pain, longing to live full lives, for those who are sad and hurt in any way. Help us to remember that we, your children, are still experiencing illnesses other than COVID-19, and getting the right treatment can be challenging and worrying. But we also know that you are with us. Take our thoughts and prayers and use them to further your work of healing. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in turmoil by the death of someone close to them, for the family and friends of anyone we know who has recently died. Give their families your comfort in their bereavement. As Sandra read to us, there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Help us to find other ways of showing our love to the bereaved while we cannot physically hug them. Lord, we lift up all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And as part of our continued worship, I think we're going to continue reflecting on what Polly has said as we sing, or maybe just let the words wash over us, this song. Here I am, Lord, I the Lord of sea and sky.
Thank you.
It's been fantastic to worship with you online this week, and we look forward to worshipping with some of you next week in our church buildings. 9 a.m. at St. Nicholas's, 11 a.m. at St. Thomas's. Book in for that, or meeting you again here online next week. Don't forget, we start next Sunday, so there isn't a communion this coming Wednesday for the Mothers Union, just to be aware of that. But again, God can commune with you wherever you are during the week. And we look forward to speaking with you. Don't forget, actually, on a Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, I do pray. We pray as a group of us that pray for God's kingdom to come. Please join us. You are most welcome to do that. But until we meet again next week, let's say the grace together. Let's bring to mind those that we worship with normally. Who is it that you worship with normally? Maybe you don't normally come to our church buildings. Bring to mind, perhaps, some of the people that you've seen on the videos during the week here. And we say the grace together as we bless one another. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have a great week, and we will see you soon.
My chains are gone. Unending love, amazing.